Duct tape was first developed in World War II to repair ammunition boxes. Since then, it's become essential to repairing anything, at least temporarily, including cars, wallets, industrial equipment, and most famously, spaceships. On the Apollo 13 mission to the moon, this improvised carbon dioxide filter was held together by duct tape. The makeshift filter was necessary after an in-flight explosion destroyed part of the life support system. To accomplish all of this, duct tape is astonishingly well-engineered to do three things. Stick to a surface when a bit of pressure is applied, securely hold two objects together, and then be removed without, if all goes well, leaving adhesive residue. To show you the fabulous design of duct tape, I'll dip it in a liquid that separates it into its key components. It takes only a few minutes, and then I can remove the cloth reinforcement embedded in the tape from the plastic backing. Notice that the drips from the cloth create these white rings. That's the dissolved adhesive. And if I stir it around a bit, I can get all the adhesive off of the backing, which makes the liquid cloudy. So we can now see the three components: the plastic backing, the adhesive dissolved here in the liquid, and the cloth reinforcement. Each is necessary for the proper functioning of duct tape. First, the adhesive covering the cloth. It's a most unusual type. Typically, we think of adhesive as something like Elmer's glue. It starts as a liquid. Then, as seen over this 8-hour time lapse, the glue blob shrinks as the solvent evaporates until it's dried and becomes solid. This, however, would not do for tape. For tape to work, we need the adhesive to stick when a bit of pressure is applied, no drying, and stay firm while the tape is in use, but not stick too tightly, as we want to remove the tape with only a bit of force and not leave any residue. Instead, the stickiness of a tape's adhesive comes from what's called a tackifier. It's a bit like the syrup used in pancakes. Because it's a liquid, it spreads across the surface to be bonded, which creates enough points of contact that it will stick to another surface. Yet a tackifier alone isn't enough. Compare a strip of silvered paper with only tackifier to a piece of tape. The tackifier will fasten the paper, but add a bit of weight and it fails. Contrast that to the tape, which can support for the same surface area at least a 5-pound or 2.3 kilogram weight. So to create an adhesive for tape, the tackifier is mixed with the strangest substance. A material that is like a liquid, so it can spread the tackifier, but will be a solid, so it holds the tape in place and sustains a load, yet is also elastic, so it can be removed when needed. Here is a substance that meets those criteria, silly putty. It behaves in three ways depending on how fast it's deformed. This 40-hour time lapse shows how the gentle pull of gravity causes it to flow like a liquid. When I pull quickly, it acts like a solid and breaks. You see here a distinct fracture plane. And lastly, it can even bounce. A material that behaves in these different ways is called a viscoelastic material. For tape, tackifier is combined with a viscoelastic material, most often rubber, to create an adhesive. Let's see how it provides pressure-sensitive adhesion, strength once applied, and removability by taking a close-up look at what happens when a piece of tape is applied and removed. As I press on the tape, the now viscoelastic adhesive spreads like a liquid to fully cover the surface, that's called wetting, placing the tackifier in contact with as much of the surface as possible. Then, once in place, the adhesive acts like a solid. It anchors the ends of the tape so that it can hold significant weight. However, it is the cloth embedded in the tape that provides strength to hold the weight. This cloth is likely cotton, but depending on the tape, it could be polyester, glass filament, or nylon. The cloth is woven from long fibers along the tape. These are what support the weight and tension. And perpendicular to these fibers are bundles of fibers. These bundles are composed of very thin fibers. This loose weave helps to reduce the cost of manufacturing. It allows the adhesive to pass through the cloth and adhere to the backing, rather than a layer of adhesive to affix the cloth to the backing, then another layer on top of the cloth. This close-up of tape attached to the glass slide shows the viscoelastic behavior. This is the tape, and this is its reflection in the glass. At first, the viscoelastic material resists being removed It stretches, becomes filamented, then elastically snaps off the surface, leaving the glass without any residue. In an ideal world, the removal of tape leaves no residue from the adhesive. Here's a piece I've attached lightly. You can see it only partly wets the surface. When I remove it, no debris remains. I'm left with a clean glass slide. But most often, especially with duct tape, it sticks too much. Here I've pressed it tightly and heated the tape to degrade the adhesive so that when the tape is removed, it leaves debris on the surface. That's called cohesive failure. If we look at the tape I just removed close up, we see a few smooth sections of intact coating and a lot of areas where the viscoelastic adhesive layer has been destroyed. This is where the viscoelastic material behaved as a solid and fractured. Here's that tape being removed from the glass slide. Notice that the strands again elongate, but instead of elastically jumping from the surface, the viscoelastic material fractures. The strands break, leaving residue on the surface. You can see that fracturing even more clearly here. In our studio, we often use gaffer's tape, which is designed to not leave residue. It's similar to the blue tape used by painters. To achieve this, they add a layer of primer between the backing and the adhesive that increases the anchorage of the adhesive, so it sticks to the backing better when peeled, and they use a thinner layer of adhesive. Also, they use an adhesive that is softer and more flexible, and thus less likely to have cohesive failure. And for some removable adhesive items, for example sticky notes, there are microspheres in the adhesive that decreases the amount of contact with the surface. Typically, all of this increases the cost of tape. Roughly speaking, gaffer's tape is 3 to 4 times the cost of run-of-the-mill duct tape. As we've just seen, controlling the stickiness of tape is of utmost importance. In fact, a key element of engineering tape is controlling its stickiness. And only by doing that can tape be wound into a useful role. If the tape sticks too tightly to itself, we could not use it. Too loose is also a problem. This is a defective roll where the tape is nowhere near sticky enough. And as you see, it telescopes. So now we turn to the plastic backing. In and of itself, it isn't very interesting. It's just a piece of plastic. Yet on its surface is the most proprietary aspect. It's covered with a release coating. It sets the balance between too tacky and not tacky enough. To understand how these coatings work, recall what happens when tape is applied. The adhesive flows to spread the tackifier evenly to wet the surface. In this way, by controlling the amount of this wetting, we can control the stickiness. While the exact formulation of this release coating is secret, the main ingredient is silicone, like in this stopper. A drop of colored water beads up on the stopper because silicone resists wetting. Compare this to a drop on a glass surface. Water spreads, that is, it wets well. To create then a release coating with just the right amount of stickiness, engineers apply a coating that contains some silicone, not too much and not too little, enough to hold the tape in position but allow it to be easily unrolled. While you'd think the invention of tape adhesive was a triumph of chemistry, of science, it was instead developed by the engineering method. Make no mistake, chemistry was necessary to synthesize these adhesives, these tackifiers mixed with viscoelastic substances. But while we can explain adhesion at a molecular level, van der Waals forces and the like, there's no detailed scientific theory that designs an adhesive. In fact, pressure-sensitive tape predates much of the most elementary molecular understanding of adhesion. Tape has been mass-produced since the early 20th century. That engineers developed and refined tape without this knowledge is no surprise. Recall that the purpose of the engineering method is to solve problems before we have full scientific knowledge. Engineers work their way around this lack of knowledge about what happens at the molecular level by developing precise ways to quantify the unknowable molecular forces that lead to adhesion. This is my favorite, a ramp used to quantify the tackiness of an adhesive. Place a ball at the top of the ramp, let go, and the tape's tackiness abruptly stops the ball. Engineers worked out a standard size ramp, carefully spelling out its specifications and dimensions. Here's 4 types of tape in order of decreasing tackiness. Duct tape, masking tape, scotch tape, removable Scotch tape. So using a mix of chemistry as a tool, empiricism, and a lot of intuition, engineers developed the adhesives for tape that can be used to do just about anything. Although there is one thing you should not do with duct tape, as noted inside this roll. Do not use it in flues, chimneys, mufflers, or tailpipes. So don't use it on a duct or anything like it. I'm Bill Hammack, the Engineer Guy.